Donc ce matin, nous avons deux exposés qui portent sur le sujet principal du séminaire, c'est-à-dire les fonctionnaires chinois et leur manuel, ou les matériaux qui peuvent être considérés comme appartenant à au même genre au sens le plus général. Je pense au cas de Luca Gabbiani, c'est pas vraiment un manuel dont il parle, mais une biographie exemplaire, si on veut. Et le troisième exposé sera celui de Madame Christine Lebeau, professeure à Paris 1, qui nous parlera. Alors, de nouveau, nous aurons notre troisième éclairage sur une culture bureaucratique extérieure à la Chine, et cette fois-ci très différente de celle dont on a parlé hier, aussi bien par la période que par le genre d'État. Donc, sur les administrateurs des finances en France et en Allemagne au XVIIIe siècle. Alors, notre premier exposé est de M. Xie Yang, qui est chercheur à l'Académie des sciences sociales de Chine, à Pékin, qui va nous parler d'un auteur. Alors, c'est un auteur auquel j'ai fait allusion dans mes remarques d'introduction hier, Lu Kun, qui est un personnage extrêmement important, un peu à la charnière, je dirais, du point de vue des. C'est un. Bon, en plus, c'est un penseur très connu, à part ses écrits bureaucratiques sur la bureaucratie, ou en tant que fonctionnaire. Mais je veux dire, en tant que fonctionnaire, c'est un penseur qui se place un peu à la charnière des Ming et des Qing, dans la mesure où c'est, comme je disais hier, son ouvrage que dont va nous parler M. Xie, le Shezhenglu, donc. J'ai jamais su exactement comment traduire Shezhenglu, mais enfin, ce sont des records, on dirait en anglais, donc des textes, parce qu'en effet, c'est un ouvrage assez composite sur Shezheng. Ça, vous allez sans doute. You will probably comment on the word Shezheng, the meaning of the title, real government, or something like that, or, as opposed to theories or empty talks, Kongtan. But this work, Mr. Xie, Dr. Xie wrote, I think, his dissertation on the Shezhenglu and several published articles. It's an extremely complicated work to analyze, but it's extremely interesting in as much as I said yesterday, it's virtually the only Ming handbook which continued to be read and published and republished during the whole length of the Qing. And Lu Kun was considered as an icon of good government and important theory by people like Chen Hongmo in the 18th century and by the so-called statecraft scholars or the Tingxi movement in the 19th century. So he's a really important author. So,
Thank Professor Will.
Your turn.
Lu Kun, we can understand that Lu Kun is famous official scholar in Ming Dynasty, and the name appeared several times in the bibliography. Professor Will are now compelling. His reputation now, he has a high reputation both in Ming Dynasty and the Qing Dynasties. As we can see that the paramount honor he got is in Qing China when he was canonized in the Confucian temple in Daoguang era in 1826. This paramount honor made him a true Confucian master officially. So I want to explore some factor that handicapped Lu Kun's reform plan into reality. So I choose this title as my presentation. Now next, let's have a detailed look on what's the influence of Lu Kun in Qing Dynasty. We can understand that Shezhenglu was indeed used as a useful official handbook. The fact is Tang Bin. Now, Professor Will mentioned Chen Hongmo. And Chen Hongmo, yes, he printed several editions of Shezhenglu and Shen Yinyu. That's the other important book wrote by Lu Kun, and also has the high quality of reading. Now, Tang Bin is another case. In his book, in his document, we can see that in Gongdu, he wrote, he delivered some orders to his subordinates without citing the name of Lu Kun, but in fact, he cited some key factors in his book, in his Gongdu. Tang Bing is also a pioneer of Confucian learning in Henan province. And Tang used the Shi Zheng Lu as a reference and guidebook when he had to deal with affairs as an intendant of the Tongguan. Now, we can see that he used the Shi Zheng Lu as a guidance book in Shanxi, other than Henan, the province Lü Kun governed. Now, we can see that Lü Kun's career was researched in those biographies. The first is Ming Shi, the official history of Ming Dynasty. But the biography of Lü Kun also cite memory and impending disasters. Yu Wei Shu, other than mention Shi Zheng Lu, Ming Ru Xuan classified Lü Kun as an independent scholar. Dictionary of Ming Biography gave Lü Kun academic biography and action in Lay Ming Thought in some famous book, major in Lü Kun's thought. And the other one, Cultural Centrality and Political Change in Chinese History. Now, this forger's focus on Henan province wants to explore some turning change, some change of Lei Ming China and the Nianpu, wrote by Zheng Hai, and the Ping Zhuan, wrote by Ma Tao, are two Chinese books major about Lü Kun. So let's retrospect the career of Lü Kun. He was a magistrate and a vice commissioner and a surveillance commissioner and the grand coordinator of Shanxi. Now, Shi Zheng Lu, the content of Shi Zheng Lu are wrote based on the experience when he was a magistrate and administration vice commissioner and surveillance commissioner and grand coordinator of Shanxi. Without his experience of a vice minister, Ministry of Justice. Next, come to Lü Kun's work as a versatile writer and an able administrator. We should understand the content of Shi Zheng Lu, including his famous work Shen Yin Yu. Without understanding that book, we could not understand the totally was the detailed plain and the point Lü Kun put forward to reform. For his emphasis was the responsibility of officials, of the local governors. So why Lü Kun put the responsibility as the key point in his reform? Shen Yin Yu told us the reason, and this book provides some background and the thought Lü Kun's thought. From his work, we can see Lü Kun's understanding of problems in society and empire, his dissatisfaction of local government practice, and his despair of local government officials. So that's the Shen Yin Yu, Grand Speech. This book explores the lifetime's reflection of Lü Kun on his views of being a man, that's basically a man, and of serving the monarch, of treating friends, and of dealing with worldly affairs. We can see that the worldly affairs explores the basic understanding of being a man and the social status. Shen Yin Yu also included Lü Kun's comments on officialdom, governmental etiquette, imperial codes, moralizing of the common people, and the administration of punishment. That throws light on Lü Kun's conception of the proper Confucian rites and ritual. Shi Zheng Lu. As a counterpart corpus of Shen Yin Yu, I describe Shi Zheng Lu like this. So I mention again, if we merely look at the content and look at the content of Shi Zheng Lu and wants to explore the thought of Lü Kun's understanding only by this book, that's not enough. We should add Shen Yin Yu and get the two books together to grasp the understanding of Lü Kun's thought. Shi Zheng Lu provides a blueprint of his plan to reform local government. This is surely an anthology of official documents about local magistrate and ground coordinator of Shanxi. Now, this is my new publishing paper about the reason why Shi Zhenglu was compelled, and the reason, this paper explores the political background and the part conflict as the background of publishing Shi Zhenglu. Liu Kun's administrative experience and the local customs, Liu Kun's views of local affairs, of his emphasis on the responsibility of officials and his desire to strengthen the officials' administrative abilities, these make up the main content of Shi Zhenglu. The issue of achieving a strong and capable government remained crucial in his thought. From this statement, we can get the basic understanding that from Shi Zhenglu, from the writing of Shi Zhenglu, Liu Kun wants to build up his plan to strengthen the officials' administrative ability. As far as the influence under Liu Kun's governing is concerned, Yang Kaidao and Fu Ma Suzumu hold the negative attitude. Yang Kaidao, a sociologist, researched the Xiangjiayue and found it had not been put into practice in or out of Shanxi, the North China. Fu Ma, his research was a charitable institutions. Fu Ma Suzumu argued it was difficult for Liu Kun to implement the plan described in Mingwu. We can see that Dr. Yang and Fu Ma also they both researched on single gen of Shi Zhenglu rather than the whole book. Fu Ma's view is that there was a disparity between the grant coordinator and the charitable institutions. I want to explore why the Liu Kun's plan has the difficulty when he put the plan into reality. The first step, I want to explore the main content of Shi Zhenglu. I list several gens of it. The first is Mingzhi and Mingwu and Xiangjiayue and Fengxianyue and Yuzheng and Dufuyue. As a way to make local control, Shi Zhenglu designs, modifies, and rearranges local government strategies. It depends from promotion of officials' government. These characteristics are best reflected in Liu Kun's thinking of renewing the local government system. We may put emphasis on the reviewing, the demand of renewing the local government system. Liu Kun involved several subordinates in prefecture officialdom. The principal official, the official in charge, the heads of community compact center. Let's take a case in point to exploring to what extent Liu Kun detailedly strict hold his reform regulations. The first in the regulations, Hui Gui of the part Xiangjia Shi Yi, that's the core part of his Xiangjiayue, Liu Kun details the organization principles, the ways of conduct, the selection of compact leaders and the requirements of the mass. Liu Kun also listed totally 22 items to make his plan clear. The demands for the head and the deputy head and the secretary of the compact, that means Yue Zheng, Yue Fu, and Yue Shi, was specially detailed, emphasizing their abilities and the personal qualities. And Liu Kun also makes a spot check on community compact. To officials, Liu Kun demanded that the works of the chief officials should not be delegated to their subordinates or assistants. He was detailing every aspect concerning daily administration, from what kind of paper government office should use, to what government style should be followed by the officials. His demand showed that he would use the maximum his official right to regulate his subordinates. That's his hoping. But what's the reality? The obstacles to in Shi Zhenglu's implementation, Liu Kun admitted that his instructions were not easily accepted by his subordinates. Liu Kun found this reality from his friend's words to show the negative feeling of his subordinates. Their words, the problem is their words. Liu Kun used to clarify his plan are impassionate and vehement. Li Kun word did not admit, and at that end, certainly made no modification. That's the key point. Accordingly, he insisted on what he put on, justifying himself by starting his official responsibilities below. I cited a paragraph, Li Kun's response to his friend's critical comment. Let's read the sentence in red. Too straightforward to be accepted that Li Kun's friend's critical comment. Li Kun said, straight is the paramount character of the three virtues in making friends. I'm standing on the highest level of official ranks. How can I make a reserved direction? What I express here is all response to those who conduct malfeasance. Good people will approve my opinion, for they detest evil as I do. Thus they can forgive my being straight. The worthless people blame me, for they have the same kind of evil So we can conclude that Li Kun had sufficient confidence in his work because of his social status, because of his official status, which nevertheless led him to neglect the practical function he intended. Li Kun's stubbornness made it so difficult for him to implement his plans in Shanxi. His refusal to make revisions only made the matter worse. That's the problem, and that's also the first factor of obstacles Li Kun's Shi Zhengluo's implementation, because of the stone Li Kun used to clarify his plans. And the other factor I want to explore is different from that. That's based on the social background in late Ming, especially in North China. For there are maybe no direct materials can be used to explore the factor, so I choose Yuan Huang, a famous scholar official in late Ming China, to make a comparison. The reason I can choose Yuan Huang to compare is that Yuan Huang also was a Tao scholar official, and he had outstanding ability in many realms of knowledge, such as geography, astronomy, military, political, and medical skill. Yuan Huang's experience, his work experience, was same to Li Kun, and he was served as a magistrate of Baodi, still a north part of China in Shuntian Prefecture. Yuan Huang's political career is especially apt to compare with that of Li Kun, because the places they governed were both located in the northern borderlands of 1590s. Although they had no relation as immediate colleagues, Yuan Huang also wrote an administration book called Baodi Zheng Shu, that's a famous, which drew on his instructions and administrative orders. This book has 14 juan, covering areas of action Yuan Huang had to take as his duty. Yu Li Shu is a part of Baodi Zheng Shu. Yuan Huang took his subordinates into full consideration. Now, when we retrospect Li Kun's Shi Zhengluo, he put a few emphasis on the subordinates just to make a strict the orders, and they were becoming the heavy burden. Yu Li Shu showed us what a great effort Yuan Huang had to make to construct a gentle relationship with his assistants. That was repaid by praised record in the book that he was amiable, decisive, but sincere. It goes without saying, he was seen as a good and current local officials. Baodi Zheng Shu covers most fields a magistrate should notice and concern himself about. Some of these concerns is beyond the scope of the Shi Zhengluo. Let's take Qi Yu Zizewen as a case in point to explore that question. Yuan Huang enumerated 27 practice that went contrary to his wishes. These practices can be grounded into two categories: the real problems he got into and the manner he dealt with daily official business. From this prayer, Yuan Huang unveiled the three important problems he had to confront and solve. The first is whether his order should would be carried out at all. The other is how to handle relationship with his with his superiors and subordinates. The third is proper attitude. This problem seemed to have been neglected by Lü Kun, or at least attached little importance to him. Lü Kun's point of officials, his emphasis was on the governing officials. The way to understand this point, we should involve Shen Yinyu, I mentioned before. Shen Yinyu, the important book, to understand why his emphasis, his point was the governing officials. Lü Kun, all demands Lü Kun put forward to his subordinates were strict administrative procedures and heavy burdens, all hard to be followed smoothly. His words confirmed to his official status, but they also had kept him from predicting the kind of response that would follow. The populace. Lü Kun saw the people as an obstructive factor under their circumstance, unable to accept admonition to all be enlightened, but he did not pay enough attention to improve them or the situation, because Lü Kun's point was the subordinates, the local officials, other than the populace. He want to improve the responsibility and the understanding of responsibility that his subordinates have. Let's back to Yuan Huang. Yuan Huang's misgivings remind us of the difficulty Lü Kun faced as well. Yuan Huang wrote a corpus named Liang Xing Zhai Ji. Yuan Huang pointed out that senior officials' detailed orders were regarded as obstacles by junior officials. It's his understanding that obstacles was the senior official's detailed order. So let's take Xin Fu She Xue and Xiu Ju Xue Zheng as another case in point to explore Lü Kun's understanding. In the Xin Fu She Xue section of the Shi Zheng Lu, Lü Kun enumerated 20 procedures to select local school's location, prescribe students' daily action, examine and train students, etc. In the section Xiu Ju Xue Zheng, Lü Kun ordered chief officials to directly supervise the students so that they could learn better. He also urged the instructors to organize the students in the same neighborhood into groups. Again, he ordered the magistrate to set up Jin De Bu and Xiu Ye Bu to record the students' conduct. Lü Kun's subordinates regarded these stipulations as trivial and enforceable. This conclusion is based on the Yuan Huang's understanding and his statement. Yuan Huang is a single case, I think. So as a social trend and the background I want to explore, I take another two cases to explore this point and to explore the social trend. Ge Xi, he was from Deping, Shandong province, also governed at the North China. So we can take this guy into consideration. Bao Jiayi, he wrote Bao Jiayi and showed the satisfaction of comprehensive orders issued from higher officials, that same to Yuan Huang. Ge Xi insisted that these orders were not suitable for local officials and could not attain expected results. He concerned that some such measures were enough. The other case is Wang Lin from Xiangfu, Henan province, that same to Lü Kun, also the north of China. He wrote Gai Xing Tiao Bian Zhuang. This article was wrote when Wang Lin was a magistrate of Deping. He was anxious to get enough authorization to perform his duties, but let the mass live at their own choices. That's also same to Yuan Huang and Ge Xi too. The three cases I point out are all about the local control based on the materials they wrote when they was a magistrate of North China. Another cases is the scholars' research. The first is Liang Qizi. He wrote him his elementary education in the Lower Yangtze region in the 17th and the 18th centuries. Take Lü Kun and Ye Chunji as the case to explore. Ye Chunji is a friend of Lü Kun, and to explore his conclusion is the same to Ge Xi and Wang Lin, that the strict control is on the negative of the social trend. Another is Professor Nimicki's dissertation explore the problem too. So let's come to the brief conclusion. Liu Kun intended to explore improve the efficiency of local government by circumscribing his routine work. He insisted that subordinates officials should become more skillful when they following his suggestions or stipulations. But Shi Zhenglu shows us his well-intended design, but also their deficiency. Liu Kun tried to reach every aspect of an official's job, but led to antipathy. So I think Liu Kun was Liu Kun stood on the contrary of social trend, which shows resistance to reform. That's the basic background of late Ming society. This is the tomb, a reconstruct of Liu Kun's tomb in Henan province. I provide three pictures. Now this is the gravestone. Now this is donated person to reconstruct the tomb and the gravestone. Now this is Liu Kun's descendant and Liu Kun's genealogy. Yeah. The three people. So, thank you.